Today's readings celebrate the Sunday of the Transfiguration because today is August 6th, the day of the Transfiguration. But they also continue Jacob's story. And since I started with Jacob's story a couple of weeks ago, we snuck it in and Tom did it beautifully so that we could hear the next part of Jacob's travail. Now, the book of Genesis is 50 chapters long, and 25 of them are taken up with the story of Jacob's family and Jacob's antics. It's a family saga, and you could also see it as a biblical soap opera. It's more exciting and more entangled than any Brazilian telenovela you ever saw. In today's reading, Jacob is still traveling in the desert, and he's preparing to meet his brother Esau again. And even after many, many years away, he's still afraid of what Esau might do to him and to his family. And whatever Esau decides to do, Jacob knows that he deserves it. So Jacob doesn't sleep. You and I, if we were telling this story, we would say, I was up all night wrestling with my fears of what's going to happen to me and to my loved ones and to all my cattle and my sheep and my goats that I have schemed for so many years to get away from my father-in-law. What is going to happen in the morning? But Jacob perceives that as wrestling with an unknown someone. Someone else is with him in his fears. It's someone who won't let him go. It turns out, when Jacob really comes to consciousness again in the morning, he is meeting God again, just like he met him on the night when he dreamed of the ladder that connects human beings to the divine God. Now it's a God who's not only connected to him, but won't let him go. I have come to believe that every human being on earth wrestles with God throughout their lives, whether they believe there's a God or not. All of us wrestle with the meaning of life. All of us wrestle with what is coming next. All of us wrestle with the fear of judgment and punishment. All of us struggle with these questions. Something, someone, accompanying us with those struggles throughout our life. I've talked before, and some of you will remember, our oldest son, Andy, who died several years ago now. And most of you will remember that for the second half of his life, Andy wrestled with a terrible and increasing mental illness. He also wrestled with the kind of Christianity that he encountered in his early 20s, a condemning Christianity which taught him that he had to believe certain things and do certain things and not do other things, or God would not love him and God would not let him into heaven. For years, when Andy came to be with his family for a while and he would begin talking about God, a lot of our discussions, especially between me and Andy, were about the God of love and the God of punishment. After Andy died, all of his belongings that were left in his room in the group home where he lived were sent to us. And when I opened up the box, I found the journals that he had kept the last year of his life, full of his scribbles in his very distinctive handwriting, and a part of my heart sank, and a part of my heart wanted to know what he had written. So I began turning the pages, and some of the writing was small and some was very large, and in very large letters he had written, "Rejected by his family." You can imagine how that struck me when I saw it. But it turned out it wasn't Andy. It was Jacob. It turned out that Andy had been listening to a radio station coming over the Ohio River from West Virginia to a sermon on Jacob. And Andy had been so fascinated by this sermon he was hearing that he tried to catch every word in his journal. There were pages of notes, including rejected by his family. That's Esau, who's waiting for him and his family and his sheep and his goats the next morning. Rejected by God is what Jacob thought. And in big letters again, he was a schemer. Big capital letters. He was a schemer, exclamation point. If there was ever a schemer, it was Jacob. And if there was ever a schemer in our family's lifetime, it was Andy. He loved to figure out how to get things to go his way. Kind of fun to watch him as a small child, kind of hard to deal with as a teenager. The bottom line of the whole sermon, Jacob was a schemer, but God loved him anyway. In listening to this sermon, a very grateful mother discovered that her son had finally come face to face with a God of love, and had let go of the God of judgment. The lessons that we have today are all about finding the face of God. Jacob wrestled with God in the desert, and he learned that God was with him every step of the way. And as a result of that encounter with God, Jacob limped every day for the rest of his life. Moses wrestled not just with God, but with the people of Israel, that's Jacob's descendants, who were muttering and complaining and demanding and wondering and fearing. And Moses went up on the mountain to receive the commandments and brought them down in the light of God, which that wonderful lesson tries to describe to us. It's something you can't put into words. In coming face to face with God, the light of love, Moses' face glowed. And every time Moses went into prayer, into conversation with God, his face glowed again. And so he would cover it with a veil. Jesus wrestled with God. He wrestled with God's call, and not just with the devil when he went out in the desert and was tempted. Even though the gospel lessons only show him arguing with the devil, it's God's voice and God's truth that Jesus is clinging to as he answers Satan. For the rest of Jesus' life, he followed the direction that he had found there. And on the mountain that we hear in our gospel lesson, the disciples came face to face with that light that shone not just on Jesus, but in Jesus. And one more lesson that we haven't had this morning, but you will remember that Paul, St. Paul, never met Jesus in the flesh, but he met him on the road to Damascus. And in a blinding light there on the road to Damascus, Paul realized that he had been moving in the wrong direction. And he turned around. And later he would write this to the Corinthians. Think how many weddings you've heard this. But think how it is really a lesson for life and not just for a marriage. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I am fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, and the greatest of these is love. Think of it. A man on the road to Damascus to capture and drag back to Jerusalem as many Jews who believed in Jesus as he could possibly catch, murdering, as he himself said, murderous threats, changes and comes to understand that God is a God of love. Paul's God, I'm saying this with a really grateful heart, is the God I believe Andy met at the end of his life. And he believed in Paul's God, the God of light and love, because the light shone for him through the story of Jacob. The light of God shines through all these stories, not just the ones about Jesus. So I want to finish this morning by pointing out that I believe something that is happening in our culture today. Our culture is wrestling with Jesus, wrestling with ideas about Jesus. Let me list some of them. Did Jesus really exist? No, it was just a hazy memory. Who can tell whether he ever lived or died? Not if you've heard that one. Was Jesus the Son of God, in whom you must believe to receive eternal life? Was Jesus a great and wonderful teacher with simple lessons that were too simple, really, for today's complex world? Or was Jesus a window into the light of God? A window into the God of love and compassion, not a window into the God of judgment and condemnation. And the greatest question for the Christian, I believe, is, does the Spirit of Jesus still live in today's world? Is the Spirit of love and light and grace still available to us, still calling us, still walking with us? Can that Spirit continue to illumine the path that you and I walk today, no matter what's happened to us, no matter how we limp, no matter how our hearts hurt, no matter what our fears are? Can we keep walking knowing that that Spirit of Jesus, that Spirit of God is present to us, walking with us, loving us? Think of how different the world is if you are walking along with someone who loves you completely, even when that someone has seen you for the schemer that you really are, still loves you. How different that is than walking along the path of your life, knowing, thinking, believing that there is someone up here that is watching your every move and saying, well, check that one off. That's no good. And that's the wrong direction. question is, what do you see when you're wrestling with Jesus? Amen.